think we should actually begin right there as we are into the 8 o'clock hour on a Friday. Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans, joins us, brought to you by Mattress Firm. Mark, I am not someone usually who is in panic mode over anything, but I am in panic mode.
What? That's how you're starting?
Yes.
Wait a minute, with a false statement?
I am in panic mode.
Oh, yeah, that's statement? True.
That's a bit of a false statement.
That's a good point.
Mike.
Yeah, you panic quite a bit.
You're starting with something that's totally incorrect. You panic all the time.
Let me rephrase.
I'm nervous about this. I'm panicky about this.
This is what he's learning in law school. This is, see, he's doing these things. He's just like, I'm going to make a statement, and as long as nobody challenges on me on it, then we'll be able to, like, base the whole argument on
it. Let me rephrase.
Yeah.
I am not normally the kind of sports fan who's going to look at one of my teams and says, you know what, they need to go for it, they need to be radically aggressive in free agency or trade. But the lack, usually, but now,
go on.
Given the fact the Texans, who had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL this past season, allowed 120 million quarterback hits to their most precious asset, Deshaun Watson. The fact that they have not even been assertive with the offensive line is making me very concerned.
Well, first of all, there's things that go on in free agency that we don't know about. How assertive, what offers were, what conversations were. I do agree that, you know, I heard Seth's little cut there. I don't know if that was from today or a previous day about candy. You know, we all want our free agent candy. Show me the candy. And often it works out where the candy isn't so tasty or the candy goes bad quickly. You know, you can win.
Sometimes
March.
The guy handing out the candy is kind of creepy.
Yeah. Like, and
candy lasts forever, Mark.
Look, we all were here. And look, if they had signed Trent Brown or whatever, look, I would have been happy about that. Believe me. But they're looking at this from long-term, short-term, all different angles. They feel like they don't want to Osweiler themselves into a left tackle situation. I'm not saying that Brown would have been that, but maybe they feel that way. And I got a new job for Seth, by the way. Not that you need to replace this one, but if this doesn't work out for some reason, Pro Football Focus, you are the guy. Because when you said that they have no good offensive linemen, I'm thinking, well, let's go to Pro Football Focus and look how all the great offensive linemen are evaluated. And you're right, Seth. According to them, everybody's terrible in the
there's
league.
There's nobody good.
Like you the two all-pro starters, good. Not even above average. It's like,
I think something happened over there because they were rating. They were turning some of these guys that were average offensive linemen like into superstars. Remember that? Who was the guard there for the Patriots? The Eagles. They were acting like he was the best.
Evan Mathis.
They had him graded like he was like Will Shields or something. They changed something.
You look at Schwartz from the Chiefs. Good.
Yeah.
It's okay. Bakhtiari. Good. All right, Dwayne Brown, good. I mean, not even like very good or excellent or elite or whatever the classification they have. And I looked at Norwell for them, Andrew Norwell, who was a big Bucs guard in free agency.
Jacksonville.
And goes to Jacksonville. Good.
Well, Norwell, I never quite got the appeal of Norwell last year. Like, everybody's acting like he was some, he was okay. Like, he was. I don't listen to the Pro Football Focus grades with offensive linemen.
Well, fair enough. But I mean, at least Pro Football Focus has a standard. I mean, the Texans right now, what's the standard? What's the standard?
The standard is it's March. The standard is they have three draft picks in the first.
It was March
two
last year too, Mark.
March last year they signed two guards.
Yes, cool. Right. What did they do?
Well, they won 11 games. Look, you can't look at it just as, oh, the offensive line is this, therefore the whole team sucks. You have to look at it like, well, we won 11 games with this guy.
Well,
with these guys for a while,
Mark,
we were actually going pretty good. What was going well when we did well? What was not going well when we didn't do well? Let's get better at those things, and maybe we can sign some guys. There are still free agents out there, Paul. There are still draft choices out there. There are still things that can happen here. They don't play till September.
But saying the team sucks, that's not what I'm saying. 11-5 was great.
I know you weren't saying
they
that.
Did it in spite of the offensive line. I think it's a 2-year process with the offensive line, and I understand that the rest of free agency, there are theoretically guys that they
what
could bring in.
What would have made you happy?
Trent Brown. Pretty much that's it. Trent Brown.
Did you see the money that he signed for?
Yes, honestly, that's not that bad.
Did you see who signed him?
Yes, the Oakland Raiders did.
Right.
With Mike Mayock and John Gruden. Okay. You can spin it that way, but here's how I'll spin it. Your tackles are not good. Your guards are not good. Your center is not good. And this is a 2-year process. Like I thought it was going to be from next year to this, where you're going to get this offensive line going somewhere. Last year, I was fine with the patience that they showed, but this year, now you are forcing yourself to do well in the draft. And I mean, to find multiple guys in the draft.
You were forced to do well in the draft regardless of who you signed in free agency. Yep. Because those free agents, the pressure on getting it right with a Trent Brown at $16 million or whatever it's going to cost, It's so extreme. You have to draft well to make it in this league. Everybody knows that. It's not just about the free agents. You have to plug the holes with the free agents. And I still think they're going to do that. I still think there are signings on the way that are not going to like make blockbuster headlines. Florio's not going to lead with them with Chris Sims, but they could help this football team.
Doesn't a free agent like Trent Brown, though, give you the flexibility in the draft? Because I do not like the idea of
So you were saying just go to the moon with Trent Brown.
Because I feel like Trent Brown would help.
No, you might be right. You might be right, Paul. You absolutely might be right. But they feel like that is not the way to go.
But
they feel like they got to go through the draft.
This is where I think this is where the two-year track record is starting to build up and where people are starting to get concerned, myself included, which would be, okay, if they had signed Nate Solder last year, it would have been a disappointment of a performance, but it still would have been a much better situation that they had last year at left tackle. So, and everybody is looking at it and saying, okay, and you guys also have a ton of cap space. So the question becomes like, all right, you've got an inadequate offensive line protecting your quarterback. You've got a bunch of cap space. It seems like those two things coincide and could be mutually, they could help each other. They could scratch each other's backs there.
Let's just see what they do. It's still, look, guys, it's the first week. And I know, oh, that first wave, you didn't get into the shopping spree. You didn't do the Black Friday stuff. You didn't do it. Well, give them a minute here.
Mike, Seth, and Paul, Mark Vandermeer in. I'm going to answer your question, Mark, about what would have made me happy. I was not sold on Trent Brown. Wade Smith did not fully sell me on Trent Brown. Wade will join us in studio at 9 o'clock. I will tell you specifically what would have made me happy. Roger Saffold. Mike Silver, NFL Network, said the Texans finished second with Roger Saffold. Here's what troubles me about that. The Titans are paying Marcus Mariota this year far more money than the Texans are paying Deshaun Watson. They, the Titans before Saffold, had one of the most expensive offensive lines in the league with Taylor Lewan, with Ben Jones, with Josh Klein. The fact that they beat out the Texans, reportedly for a guy the Texans wanted, that for me is a troubling sign. That's what I didn't like to hear.
You wanted to see them spend more, get him, and move on from it. Well, it would have kept him away from them. But, you know, look, they have ways of evaluating things, too. They have dollar figures on guys, and they might be wrong. But this is like evaluating, you know what it feels like here with the fan reaction, with the reaction of you guys? It feels like you're down 14-0 at the half, right? It kind of feels that way. Yet, there's no way to even quantify that right now. It's all speculation. It's what's the price of pork bellies in a month. That's what it is. We don't know what it's going to look like when they get to the starting line. Even they started 0-3 last year, and look what happened. You have to wait to see how this thing plays out. As painful as this is, you guys might absolutely be right about this, but there's no way to know that right now. There's no way.
Go ahead, Paul.
6 of 12 teams that make the playoffs 1 year won't make the playoffs the next year. That's half the teams. The Cleveland Browns are just doing whatever they want. The Cleveland Browns, I think, maybe have taken a step past the Houston Texans, just given what they've done offensively. I don't know how the Texans defensively stopped that. Say they were to match up with one another, unless Baker Mayfield ends up being a bust. It's year two. We'll see. I mean, he had a very good, I think, rookie season. And then on top of that, I really like what the Baltimore Ravens did. I mean, I think they upgraded at running back with Mark Ingram. I think that they upgraded at safety, moving on from Eric Weddle. And those are two teams that I think, Mark, are on about the same tier as you, where they're very close to maybe touching the top of the AFC. But where they're at right now is they're still looking up at New England. They're still looking up at Kansas City. And they're all on the same page as probably like an Indianapolis team and maybe some of the other teams in the AFC North.
So what are you saying, that you're not keeping up with the Ravens and the Browns right now?
Right now, I feel like those two teams have
in the
those
spending
two,
spree.
The spending sprees have taken they have taken a step ahead of the Texans because of those spending sprees.
Dream team scenarios often don't work out. All right.
Okay,
the
but
Philadelphia
I mean,
Eagles, the 2015 Colts. That free agency was so unbelievable. It was the gifts going around about the Colts in 2015. Incredible. So the next year they go 8-8. The following year they go 8-8. There is no guarantee, as we all know. All right. And I know you're just evaluating week one here, and it just doesn't look so. Look, they added a safety who I think can really help them. He covers tight ends really well. I think the corner, if you work with him right, he's got a ton of speed. He could do some things. I mean, Johnny was talking about, like, all right, there are some reasons why he was available on the free agent market. But then you look at him against Tyreek Hill. You look at him against some other speedy receivers. You look at him against Cooks. There were some moments there. All right, so let's just see how that plays out as well. I think they got better on defense, clearly. And I think that, and I'll say that, I think they got better on defense this week, a little tiny bit in the secondary. And I think that when you, I know they wanted Tyrann Mathieu, But I think Gibson's going to be a big help for them, considering the amount of tight ends they're going to play this year that are really good. Let's just see, guys. I mean, this is week one. Let's see how they draft. And I know after the draft is going to be this huge wave of reaction as well. And again, we're going to have to wait another year or two for that to come in, for those returns to come in.
But I think as far as like preaching patience, I'm fine with clamoring for change on the offensive line until I actually see a good offensive line. Like I'm not going to sit here and give people the benefit of the doubt. Like honestly, I've been giving people the benefit of the doubt for a long time as an NFL fan, and I'm kind of tired of it. Like, I just want to see the production. So I'll clamor for offensive line improvement until I get it.
I think it's fair for you guys to react. I really do. I mean, why not? Let's just go. Because to me, all we can do is wait to see them play games, right? Yeah. That's how I look at life. You like it or not, you have to entrust that Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien are going to make these moves that are going to improve the football team in 2019. They might be wrong. They might make the wrong moves. But, you know, I just feel like it's so early in the process to say, well, they're definitely behind the Browns. They're definitely behind the Ravens. You know, let's just see how this thing works out.